We'll now turn for our scripture reading this morning to the prophet Ezekiel and the 34th chapter, Ezekiel in the Old Testament after Jeremiah, Ezekiel chapter 34, which speaks to us, as you'll see from the headings, firstly of the irresponsible shepherds. We're failing to take care of God's flock as they ought, then it speaks to us of God, the true shepherd of the flock. And we'll read all of the chapter just now. Ezekiel chapter 34, reading from the beginning. Let us hear God's own holy word. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill, yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, Indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited parts of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their folds shall be on high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold, and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost, and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken, and strengthen that what was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the clear waters that you must foul the residue with your feet? And as for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. Because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns, and scattered them abroad, therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hands of those who enslaved them. And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles any more. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. Amen. May God bless that reading of his word. Well, congregation, this morning we resume our study of Psalm 23. So you can open your Bibles once again to this beautiful psalm. And our focus this morning will be on the second verse, where we read that the Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, a gentleman was once taking a holiday in a rural district in England, and he came across a little boy who was tending some sheep that were in the field beside his house. And this man was a Christian, and so he began to enter into conversation with the young lad, and he talked to him about the story of the Good Shepherd from John chapter 10, who had given his life for the sheep. And the little boy, he listened with great interest, and he wanted to know for himself how it was that he could come to know this Good Shepherd as his shepherd. And so the man asked him, he said, "Well, do you know the 23rd Psalm?" To which the little fellow answered, saying, "No." Well, the man said, "Then let me teach you the first sentence. Would you like that?" The little boy said, yes, he would like that very much. And so the man said to him, "Well, say these words after me then. The Lord is my shepherd." And the little boy repeated the words as instructed. And the man said to him, he said, "Now repeat each word again, and this time count a finger as you do so in this way. The Lord is my shepherd." And the man said, "When you come to that word, my," he said, "grip that fourth finger with your other hand, and never forget that the Lord is not only a shepherd, but your shepherd, if you will but take hold of him by faith, by putting your trust in him and following him obediently as he leads you by his word and by his spirit." Well, after that, the gentleman gave the young boy a Bible, which he told him to read, and he told him to ask God to help him to understand it and to obey it. And then he went on his way. And later that night, the little boy told his parents about the man and all that he had taught him. And he showed them the Bible he had given him, which he was now very keen to read. Well, it was some time later that the same man was passing through that district where he'd met the little boy, and so he decided he would try to go to speak to him again. And having come to the place where he lived, he was met by the mother of that little boy. So the man asked after her boy, and he asked how he was doing. But she informed him that sadly her son had died. And the gentleman expressed his sorrow, and he said he'd called at the house because he'd hoped to see him again. And then the mother asked him, she said, "Are you the man that gave my boy a Bible and taught him to say something on his fingers?" And he replied that he was. Then she said, "Well, my boy, just before he died, he told me to tell you, if you ever came this way again, that he died holding the fourth finger of his hand. You see, that little boy had come to know the Good Shepherd that he'd been told about, and he'd put his trust in him through his word. And so when he came to die, he was able to rest in the love of the Good Shepherd for him and to lay claim to the wonderful truth that lies at the very heart of this beautiful and amazing psalm, that the Lord is the shepherd of his people, however young or old they may be. And as we've been emphasizing in previous weeks, most important matter in life, when all is said and done, is to know and to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. But you see, if that is true of us, and that's what's so wonderful, we won't want for anything, not only in life, but in death. Because as we've seen, the Good Shepherd has a care and a concern for every one of his sheep. And he has actually made it his own personal responsibility to provide for them and all of their need in every season and at every stage in life. And last week we finished up, I trust you remember, looking at the opening verse of this psalm by focusing on the Good Shepherd as our caring shepherd. Well, this week I want to look at the second verse of this psalm by taking as our theme the Good Shepherd as our providing shepherd. And we'll see firstly what it is according to this verse that the shepherd does provide for the sheep. Then secondly, we'll focus on how he provides it. For as this verse makes clear, the shepherd provides a place of rest and refreshment for the sheep by making them to lie down in green pastures and by leading them beside the still waters. Well, firstly then, we see from this verse what it is that the Good Shepherd provides for the sheep. Namely, as we said, a place where rest and refreshment can be enjoyed. You see, the picture that this verse is meant to paint is one of deep contentment, of abiding satisfaction in the provision of the shepherd. It's a beautiful picture of the peace, the rest, the tranquility which is brought about because of the provision the shepherd has made for the sheep that are under his care. The verb that's translated here as lie down, it suggests the crouched resting position of a sheep that is in a state of complete relaxation. And the phrase here, which is translated in our Bibles as still waters, it's derived from a verb meaning to settle down, to rest. And so it actually means a quiet place of rest or waters of rest. And the scene that's brought before us then here, it's not of sheep that are grazing and drinking, but of sheep that are at perfect rest, of sheep that are lying down, stretched out beneath the warmth of the summer sun, with bellies that are already full from munching on rich green grass. And David is saying here then that he feels the same way as those sheep. Because you see, he knows that when we have the Lord As our shepherd, we can be at rest because all want is now taken away for the simple reason that we're now firmly in the sovereign care of our good and faithful providing shepherd. And the rest which the good shepherd provides for his sheep then, it's a spiritual rest. It's a heart rest which arises from a conscious sense of belonging to the Lord and being in his tender care. And it's a rest that's now meant to pervade and influence the entirety of our lives because of the deep-rooted and settled assurance that that fact is meant to bring into our lives. But you see, the only way that this rest can be enjoyed is by being in a right relationship with the Lord as our shepherd. For notice what is said here about the rest spoken of. It's a rest that the shepherd himself creates for the sheep. He makes them to lie down in green pastures, and he leads them beside the still waters. And it's something that he does continually so that they can be renewed and refreshed spiritually. But we need to understand it's not something that the Lord does by force. The verbs that are used here, they suggest gentle persuasion, whereby the shepherd patiently and persistently encourages his sheep to follow him to the place where their hungers and their thirsts can be met. It's the same word that's used in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 18, for example, of being led like a father, leading his young daughter to as they walk to school. And you see, the good shepherd, he's able and he's willing to lead the sheep under his care to rich pastures to graze on and to fresh waters that will supply all of the nutrients they need for their life and well-being. But they must be prepared to yield to his leading in life if they would enjoy these things and the rest that flows out of them. And that's a very basic point. But nevertheless, it's a fundamental and very necessary point to make. Because you see, it's of the very essence of what it means to be a sheep in the flock of God, that our lives are now yielded up to him as our shepherd and overseer. And let's face it, by nature, we don't want to place our lives into the care of another. By nature, we're self-sufficient. We're self-determined. We're independent. And we are going to live our way as we want and to go in our own direction. But being a believer means that we've been given a new heart and a new mind, whereby we now want to be led and directed by our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Even though, as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, he says, we were just like sheep going astray, but we have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And that means that we're now under his care and management. And so he shouldn't have to drive us or push us to get to do his will. But we're meant to be willing to be led by him. As we said when we looked at the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, we read from John chapter 10, and Jesus himself says there in that chapter, he says that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Not out of constraint or restraint, but willingly, out of love for the shepherd. And you see, that's what sets Christ's people apart as his sheep. And as I understand it, Middle Eastern shepherds will move their flock along either by going in front of them or by following behind them. And those shepherds that follow behind their sheep, they have to use sticks to constantly prod the flock along and lead them and keep pushing them to keep them from wandering off. But the shepherds that go in front of their voice, they lead them by simply speaking to them with a distinct call that the sheep quickly learn to distinguish as the voice of their shepherd. And that's the emphasis here in this verse. It's that of a shepherd leading the sheep because their wills have now been surrendered to him. Because that is true, they are submissive now to his leading and guiding. And where the shepherd leads, then the sheep are meant to follow. Because you see, their lives are no longer to be self-determined, but determined by the will of the shepherd himself, who knows what is best for the sheep. So we need to ask ourselves, if the good shepherd is going before his sheep to lead them, are we following him? And if this is what the shepherd does for his sheep and with his sheep, providing them with green pastures and leading them beside still waters, are we allowing him to do so by responding to his voice? And there are many, many people today, all of us, and they long to know real and lasting peace and rest in their hearts. And you see, what this verse is telling us is that it can only be found as we turn from following our own ways. And we do allow the Good Shepherd to take control of our lives and lead us in the way he now wants us to go. As Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 and 29, wonderful words to those who are laboring and heavy laden in life and weighed down with all of its cares and concerns. What does he say? He says, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Because you see, the Lord Jesus knows, as our Creator, that he alone can satisfy our longings and bring us into the experience of the joy of being at peace and rest in him and in his provision. He says in John chapter 6 and verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And you see, deep within all of us, as Blaise Pascal has said so well, there is a God-shaped vacuum which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator made known through Jesus Christ. As Augustine has said, God made us for himself, and thus our heart is restless and will forever be restless until it rests in God. And yet so often the tragedy is that in our stupidity, we resist the attempts of God to draw us to himself and to lead us and guide us into a deeper, more intimate knowledge and relationship with himself through Jesus Christ, the good shepherd of his sheep. Because you see, we're not willing to submit our will to His. And thus we rob ourselves of the opportunity to be at rest. And my dear friend, if you're longing for rest in your soul, then come to God through Jesus Christ and make it your aim to abide in Him and in His love. That's the only way you will ever come to know the rest that is so beautifully pictured for us in this image of the sheep lying down in green pastures and beside the still waters. You see, the hunger that you feel in your heart, that every human being feels in their heart, to be at rest, it simply cannot be found anywhere else. And you may dabble, just like Solomon did, in everything that this world has to offer. But you will only discover, as he did, that ultimately it's all vanity and a grasping after wind. For it will leave you empty and utterly dissatisfied on the inside. Christ and Christ alone can provide you with true rest for your soul, and He alone can quench the hunger and the thirst that the bitterness of sin has created in your soul. It's very interesting that a shepherd will tell you that a sheep that is hungry, it will never lie down and be at rest. Because hunger causes a sheep to be restless and irritable. And sheep will continue, therefore, to stir and move around until it finds that which will satisfy its hunger. And only then, when it has eaten to satisfaction and its stomach is full, will it find a quiet place to lie down and finally be at rest. And that should tell us then that not every place is suitable for a sheep to find the nourishment it needs to be at rest. The place of rest that David's describing here, he's not speaking of any ordinary pasture. He's describing here a rich and a lush pasture land with an abundance of fresh and tender green grass, so that even when the sheep has fed to its heart content, it can still lie down in those lush green pastures because there's more to sustain it. Because you see, it's just the kind of grass that the sheep needs to flourish and be satisfied. And when we apply what David is saying here then in a spiritual way, we ought to see there's no reason whatever for any of the sheep within the fold of Christ to be undernourished and discontent in life. For the Good Shepherd has provided all that we can ever need to be filled and fully satisfied. And that brings us to see in the second place then how the Shepherd does provide the rest and refreshment for the sheep spoken of here. And you see, it's by leading them to these rich green pastures beside the still waters where they can be fed and watered. We need to ask ourselves then, in a spiritual sense, what are these green pastures and still waters to which the Good Shepherd leads his sheep? And where are they to be found? Well, as we said already, the shepherd leads the sheep to these green pastures and still waters, not by force, but by gentle persuasion. You see, in ordinary circumstances, the shepherd doesn't feed his flock. He simply guides them where they may gather for themselves to have their hunger satisfied and their thirst quenched. The picture here then, I believe, is of a Christian, someone who hears the voice of the Good Shepherd speaking to them in the Word of God, and they've now learnt the importance of living upon that word and all of the means of grace that God has given them to enable them to grow up into Christ, their spiritual head. And it's a picture then of someone who takes in the Word of God on a daily basis and seeks to actively obey it throughout the day in the midst of all of the busyness of life. And time again, they return to the Word of God and the God of the Word. And in so doing, they find rest for their souls as they are nourished and strengthened inwardly through the work of the Holy Spirit, as He now takes of the things of God in Christ that are revealed in the Word, and He shows them to them. And you see, the living Word of God is where the soul must feed if it is to find rest. And so I ask you, do you want to get to know the Good Shepherd better, to know the rest that He provides for the soul? Well, it's to be found in His own book then, the Bible. And if you're serious about feeding on Him and finding true rest for your soul, then you will only discover it by meeting with Him in His Word. Why is it that we sometimes complain that we find the Christian way difficult? Why is it that we can so quickly grow cold in our affection for God and start craving after the things of this world? Well, it's nearly always because we are neglecting God's own word. And Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But how do we grow in that grace and in that knowledge? Well, again, it's by the Word. And if a sheep's not being fed, then it's not going to grow. And in like manner, if a Christian is not being fed, then they're not going to grow either. And the shepherd's great concern is that his sheep would grow, that they would be healthy and strong by being often in the green pastures of his own word. But you see, Jesus knows. As he says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone. But how? By every word that proceeds from out of the mouth of God. And if we want to grow up into Christ and all things and attain to spiritual maturity, then there's nothing else for it. We must make the Bible the primary thing in life. Because you see, it's there that we come into contact with the rich green pastures of the living Word that bring rest and peace into the soul as we feed upon it. But the psalmist also says that the Good Shepherd leads the sheep beside the still waters. Because you see, a sheep doesn't only need grass to flourish, it also has to drink water, or it simply won't survive. The same is true for us then on the spiritual level. And David not only knew about sheep, David also knew about his shepherd. David knew God. And he knew then he had to have not merely the bare word of God to sustain him inwardly, but he had to have God himself coming in the Word and with the Word to his soul. And he not only had to eat then, he knew he also had to drink at the same time. And David knew then that he needed the Holy Spirit to accompany the Word if it was to minister to his soul. See, David knew his Bible. He was well aware that water is very often used in Scripture as a symbol for the Holy Spirit. You remember, for example, how God promised Israel that He would send forth His Holy Spirit as floods over thirsty ground. And that's a beautiful picture which is meant to remind us of our constant need of the spiritual water of the Holy Spirit for our spiritual health and well-being. You see, we need the Holy Spirit to come alongside of us, to teach us continually through the Word. And that should tell us that we're not simply to read the Bible then, but we're to bathe all of our reading in prayer for the life and teaching of the Holy Spirit to accompany it and apply it and bring us into contact with the living God Himself through it. For it's only that which can truly satisfy the needs of our souls. You see, while grass is essential for the well-being of a sheep, if a sheep only fills it up with dry grass or hay without adequate water, it will actually die. Because the grass will sit in its stomach like a big, hard, solid ball, and it will actually end up choking the very life out of the sheep. I was reading a story from a shepherd in Scotland about a sheep that had jumped over the edge of a cliff onto a ledge. It was about 7 feet down below the edge of the cliff. But it had jumped down because there was plenty of beautiful green grass on that ledge. But once the sheep had finished eating the grass, of course it couldn't get back up to the top of the cliff again. So the shepherd was alerted about the predicament of his sheep, and so he went to rescue his ewe. And she'd been there, he said, for perhaps 4 to 7 days, or maybe even longer. And he said that it was a beautiful green patch of grass where she'd been feeding. But the problem was there was no water or dew to accompany it. And so when the shepherd found the sheep, that sheep had eaten the grass right down to the roots. And even though he was able to rescue her, he said that she died a day later. Because when he opened up that ewe, he found that all of the grass she had eaten, it had turned into one big hard ball. And so ultimately, instead of the grass nourishing her, it had actually choked the life out of her because there was no fluid in it. And her body simply couldn't use the food that she had eaten to nourish her. And you see, you and I need to have more than just our heads filled with knowledge of the Word of God if it's to do us any real good. We need the water of the Holy Spirit to bless and to apply that Word. And you see, without the blessing of the Holy Spirit, the Word will only end up condemning us at the last. And if you're here and you're not benefiting from the Word that you're hearing preached from week to week, and that you are so familiar with, then I ask you, are you asking God every day and every time that you place yourself under the Word and you come to the Word, are you asking God to give you the Holy Spirit to lead you into the truth and to enable you to understand it and obey it? That's why the Holy Spirit is given to us. That's why the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. And you see, the good shepherd is willing, absolutely willing, more willing to give than we are to receive the Holy Spirit. But he gives the Holy Spirit to all those who will ask for him. Because you see, the good shepherd wants us to profit from his Word. He longs for the sheep that are in his flock to thrive and be in a healthy spiritual condition. For For he makes the sheep to lie down in green pastures, and he leads them beside the still waters for that very purpose. But you see, we must be willing to come to those green pastures and still waters by making use, diligent use, of all of the means of grace that he has appointed for our spiritual growth and well-being. And if we neglect to ask for the Holy Spirit, and we fail to make use of the rich spiritual food that God wants us to have, then what we'll discover is that we continue to go hungry and thirsty. We'll continue hankering after the things of the world, and we'll go to anything and everything looking to fill the void that we feel in our hearts. And what we'll discover is that our Christian life will be very unsatisfying and unfulfilling. Well, you'll remember that I mentioned George Mueller last week. You remember I said he was the man who was described as having Psalm 23 written all over his face. And again, I recommend you read his life story, and I recommend that you read good Christian biographies. Well, I want to close by telling you what he had to say about the importance of nourishing our souls with the Word of God. He asks, in what way shall we attain to this settled happiness of soul that the Bible speaks about? How shall we learn to enjoy God? I answer, he says, this happiness is to be obtained through the study of the Holy Scriptures. It is absolutely needful in order that happiness in the Lord may continue, that the Scriptures be regularly read. For these are God's appointed means for the nourishment of the inner man. He says, not the simple reading of the Word of God so that it only passes through our minds just as water runs through a pipe, but considering what we read, pondering over it, and applying it to our hearts. And if you and I want to experience the spiritual joy and peace that Mueller knew in life, and all those who knew him knew he knew in life, well then God wants all of his people to heed his advice, because that's the peace and joy that God wants all his people to know. But if we would know it, then we must heed the advice that Mueller is giving us here. You see, it's only then that we will be well fed and nourished spiritually, and we will be able to lie down in green pastures and go on drinking from the still waters that our good shepherd has provided for all of his sheep. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we come, we ask that you would bless and own this message to all of our hearts. We pray that we would see that you are a good and a tender, a loving shepherd who makes full provision for the sheep under his care, that your heart's desire is toward the sheep of your flock, to see them flourish spiritually and in every way. And we pray, Lord, that we would see that you have provided for us in your word and by your Spirit all that we need in life to sustain our souls in peace. And we pray, Lord, that we would thank you that you haven't made the Christian life complicated, that you haven't required that we do a whole multitude of things to enjoy the peace and the rest that is to be found by being in your word prayerfully, day by day, and whatever time that we have. And we pray that we would all seek to be faithful according to our different schedules, to set apart time each day in our routines, however short it may be, to feed upon the rich green pastures of your word, to call upon your name, to send your spirit to accompany that word, to take of the things of Christ, to show them to us, to lead us into all truth in such a way that we understand it, in such a way that we take it to heart, and that we live in the joy of all that it reveals to us about you and your love and your care and your keeping of the sheep that you have taken to yourself. And we pray then, Lord, that you would bless your word. Help us to be lovers of the word. Help us to be not only hearers, but doers of it. Help us to profit from what we've heard this morning. Help us to take your word to heart and help us to learn from it. And we pray, Lord, that it would be a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path in the midst of the darkness that we find ourselves in. And we pray that we would walk in that light, that we would enjoy fellowship and communion with you through it. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we go on with our day. As we come out again this afternoon, we ask that you would be with us and among us and bless us in all that we do. We ask all of this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.